For the book publishing industry, the 20th century was arguably the era of the paperback format. Inexpensive printing, rising literacy, and a global mass media helped to put more books in more hands than ever before. The medium may be the message, but the paperback format was the business model. Welcome to Copyright Clearance and its podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. In 2017, print remains a critical element of the book business, of course. Yet attention from editors and executives and authors, too, focuses on digital. The arrival of the annual Global eBook Report, an ongoing project from Vienna-based publishing consultant Rüdiger Wieschenbart, is an opportunity to filter through conflicting storylines to better understand the current fortunes of the new century's fundamental format. Welcome back to Beyond the Book, Rüdiger.
Hi, Chris. I'm very happy to be back here.
We're happy to explore these issues with you because, as we mentioned, ebooks seem to be the format of this new century. But are they really a lot more than that? Is this ebook format a way of looking at the industry in a new way?
I think ebooks are much, much more than just a format. I guess the real key is that suddenly ebooks connect directly the authors and the readers. And that changes dramatically the role of the publisher. That changes the role of all the in-betweens, the booksellers, everybody else. So suddenly, everybody is involved directly in an interactive exchange in the network.
And the way we can sort of get into this topic as we discuss it today and as you cover it in the ebook report is through the numbers. You gather the data from a variety of sources. You've gotten some new sources as well as kind of the continuing input from the usual suspects, so to speak. And you are able to break this down into a variety of markets and to look at those markets through the genres and sort of sub-markets. So, what stands out for you right now? I mean, we hear a great deal in the industry reporting of a kind of flattening in the market for North America. We don't hear in the U.S. at least a great deal about what goes on in Europe, but there is a lot going on. For you, Rüdiger, who gets around quite a good deal, what stands out in the global ebook report?
I guess there are two rather contradictory things to be said. On the one hand, everywhere, really everywhere, the direct connect between the authors and the readers via digital takes place. But second, it takes place in very different forms. For instance, in China, people have started to read and write on the screen through their mobiles as early as 2003, 2004. So way before we started to be interested in self-publishing. They never called it like this, but it is that. In Europe, people, and particularly all the industry organizations, tried to resist the ebook. And they were very proud that ebooks did not really get up to a share of sales of above 10%. But again, when you look more closely, you realize that's not exactly the story. The story is that in some parts, print is really has never been out of the way. But in other parts, even in very different places in Europe, ebooks are very powerful in genre fiction, in romance, in science fiction, in fantasy, and these sectors have grown in significance. So suddenly, even for a traditional publisher who sells an ebook, new novel, a literary novel, at 15 euros, that's 14 US dollars, almost unthinkable here, that can be substituted by a quick read at 3 euros 99. So suddenly the entire dynamics of the market, they are changing. And at the end of the day, we are in that transition also from the point of view of a reader or a consumer. They must be very confused. Why do they have to pay for the same book? It's a container with stuff to read, which is fun and entertaining and educating. But why do they have to pay for the same piece of software, either 0.99 or 15 euros? So that's really very strong forces changing the entire thing. And therefore, I argue it's not just a format. It's really transforming the entire game.
And so ebook publishing is just another name for self-publishing, really?
Both. It's it brought up self-publishing, but also it changed the way how the big publishing houses organized their thing, because they were the first to learn to make good money, really significant money, out of curated digital book content. The really challenged guys are those in the middle ground, the traditional high fiction brands all over the place in the US, like in Europe, because they are somehow trapped in the middle. They have all the cost, but they never really manage to get into scale and into that learning about the readers, being capable of interacting with the readers directly. So they have all the challenges and not really found the way out of it.
So the potential of ebooks and digital publishing is the ability to target audiences, to customize the product in such a way that it really meets the need of the reader specific to him or her. Our publishers, our authors for that matter, independent authors, taking up that opportunity in a way they could be, they're leaving much on the table, as it were. Is customization, I guess my question is customization happening at the level it should be or could be?
No, not yet. Clearly not yet. But the strange thing is, some authors are geniuses in catering, in building a community, getting in touch and in a connection with that community for their very specific books. And some authors even run two communities because they write romance novels, and under a different pseudonym, they write crime novels, and they have two communities. They can do this. But medium-sized publisher with something between 50 and 100 titles per year, that's much more difficult, and they are very, very bad at this, but they should. And at the moment, outside of the English language, they don't have the data available to them to really properly understand what makes the difference. And that is the really innovative part of the Global eBook Report 2017, that we could work with distributors, and they know exactly what runs through their pipes. And we could realize that you have one segment of ebooks, and therefore customers, going for books at around €5, $5 to $6. And there is a second cohort or a segment, which is between 10 and 12 euros. And these are different audiences. And we, for the first time, could really drill down and profile them and say, listen, if you want to market that properly, as you used to do in the old paper world, where it was much slower and not so specific, then you need to get an understanding of these numbers, and you need to wrap your mind around these specifics. And that's why we try to help to understand in a realistic way what's going on in that digital marketplace.
We are speaking today in New York, ahead of Book Expo and the Global Market Forum, which you direct. But you are based in Vienna. You know the German language publishing market very well, and organize the annual Publishers Forum in Berlin. So educate our listeners in North America about the differences in that German marketplace. Many things seem very familiar as I read through the report. The book selling side of things has been undergoing tremendous disruption, even though there are price fixing laws and other legislation that really sort of puts more controls on it than we would recognize in the U.S. So the same disruption is happening. What's the state of ebook publishing in Germany then?
I guess the main difference is that in Germany or in other large European markets like France or Spain or also smaller countries, is it's much more regulated in the ambition to have a more stable, a less versatile marketplace. And what we see now, because it's much deeper shifts of consumer trends, of cultural habits, etc., that all those regulation measures do not hold that together anymore. And you have Amazon in many places, but also the big local players have to compete with totally different things and different practices of the users who watch Netflix on their little mobiles, who exchange the news about what they want to read on their mobile phone, and not just in the broadsheet with the literary reviews. And so suddenly you have very similar changes, very profound changes in the marketplace in Germany as you have them in the US. But at the same time, there are differences. For instance, in Germany, in the digital part, it's not only Amazon who owns the market, but there has been a local competitor, an alliance of the large traditional retailers who said, we can do ebooks just as well. And they found an alliance, which they branded the Tolino Alliance, which has been acquired recently by Kobo, which is, again, a property of Rakuten, so a global player going into these specifics. And the Tolino Alliance could really create a second center of activities where they form significant sales power, significant platforms, significant audiences. So, and self-publishing is very much existent, but not to a degree as it is in the US. And the last point, I guess, where you must make a difference is that the leading, the largest players in the game, the largest publishers, are much smaller and own a much smaller market share in Germany, same in France, as it is the case with the big five in the US. So you have more in between and not only the very big ones and all the independents.
Right. And we just are coming out of the Cannes Film Festival, and there was some controversy at Cannes. It's a long story and involves a lot of cultural issues for the French, but a revolt, if you will, against Netflix by the indigenous, the native film industry, one that remains unresolved. And the story you've just told about the situation in Germany makes it clear that German publishers aren't ready, and all, German publishers of all kind, aren't ready yet to cede the ground entirely to Amazon. They're looking to take them on.
But at the same time, Europe is a wonderful, large market, but cut into many, many pieces. Yeah, different languages, German, French, Hungarian, Swedish, Icelandic, whatever you want. Different sales taxes, different little local legislation, no overall copyright regulation, etc., etc. So it's really like an ant hill with many, many, many actors running back and forth. And I think that's also one of the big debates that we have at the moment, where really publishers get very frightened and sometimes respond very aggressively, say we need more protection, etc. So it's a very, very lively situation, because Europe has not come to terms in unifying that digital marketplace. And I guess that's the most important challenge ahead.
Certainly it would be. And the other challenge for everyone, wherever they are publishing, is that we live in a mobile world. And we've already brought this up in a number of aspects. And certainly it's the competition for attention, for the attention of the public, that publishers must really be wondering how they're going to survive. Because video and YouTube and film and so forth are there on the same device as well as their own ebook. So what can you tell from the status of the ebook world today, where we're headed with all of that? How are ebooks going to compete in that world? How are they going to reach the audiences that they need to for these publishers to survive and thrive?
I simply can pick up on a phrase coined by an American analyst from Silicon Valley, who said mobile is eating the world. And I think that's more true than we all understand. Because if someone even buys a print book down at the little bookshop at the corner of the street, it's very likely that he or she has learned from their social media contacts over the mobile phone, exchanging all kinds of information. So even if you buy the print book because you want print at the corner store at the end of your street, because you want to sustain that corner store, mobile has had a critical role in it. And that's, I guess, the most important thing that we need to understand, what is changing. It's not the format. It's how people interact with each other about what they consume. And then it's an easy and very fickle decision. Do I watch this as a movie? Do I read a book? Do I go to the coffee shop and have a chat about the same story with my friend? All that is possible, but it always revolves around the that magical mobile device.
Rüdiger Grischenbach, we appreciate a chance to learn a little bit more about the recently published Global e-book Report. We'll provide a link for people where they can get a copy themselves. And we always enjoy chatting with you. Rüdiger Grischenbach from Grischenbach Consulting, thanks for being on Beyond the Book.
It was wonderful, as always, to be your guest.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global leader in content management, discovery, and document delivery solutions. Through its relationships with those who use and create content, CCC and its subsidiaries RightsDirect and Ixis drive market-based solutions that accelerate knowledge, power publishing, and advance copyright. Beyond the Book co-producer and recording engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burrist Marketing. I'm Christopher Keneally. Join us again soon on Beyond the Book.